Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. That are calling in, and we have one of our favorite callers, very faithful caller, that's calling in right now. Hello, you're on air. This is Professor Applewhite.
This is Tom Baker, Vice President, White Apple Institute. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and we are here to talk to our listeners about a very, very important subject. And that is using drugs to feel good at school and work. And this is a part one. We'll be coming back to this again. We're not going to follow it in sequence because we have guests lined up, but we're going to make a really good start of this particular subject. And I'll read the description of the show so that our listeners out there can grab hold of what this concept is all about, because using drugs to feel good at school and work, everyone would say, most people that are not using street drugs would say, well, I don't use drugs to feel good. When I go to school, when I go into my college classroom or into my workplace. But it says that our staff is going to discuss drug use from basic coffee. Get that, listeners. Basic coffee, soda, like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. And we have to mention both those at the same time. We can't give one more than the other, you know what I mean? And cigarettes to heroin and meth. This show is available for review anytime, and I want our listeners to hopefully share these concepts of addiction with other family members and friends, so that we'll have a better understanding of what addiction is truly like, and that addiction is not about just knowing that you're taking some type of drug form. Addiction is about what controls you in your life, and that's the important thing. We have another caller online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. I've been getting some interesting comments about you, Maria, on our email address, that people are so proud of you. Our listeners who have been very faithful have been very, very, very proud of you and your steps to step into the college arena. And you've made that first step, and you've registered for classes starting January 2011. So I just can't get over your progress. And I thank God so much that I've had some part in, or that we've all had some part at White Apple Institute to support you in this challenge. Anything you want to say?
Yes, well, I am very thankful that somebody asked me, so what pushed you to go to college? I'm like, well, I have a friend of mine, Ms. Applewhite, that I met her about 3 years ago. I met you 3 years ago, and, you know, I talked to you, and I shared with you how I felt about me, and even when I went to college, I spoke to Mr. Kress, and I told him the way I felt about myself, and he asked me, no problem, Maria, we would do our best to help you, and I'm very excited, and I could not be more thankful to God and Ms. Applewhite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were the one that pushed me to that direction, and I'm here.
I just
good.
Don't give up easy, Maria. I just don't give up easy. Do I, Tom?
No, you don't.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah. What was your major again? Or have you selected one?
I'm going to go see if I can become an interpreter. Spanish, English, English, Spanish.
Interpretation. Right. Interpretation from English to Spanish,
Spanish
and Spanish to English, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing because your English is very understood. We can understand you well with English, and we can also understand your Spanish. So I think you've got a true chance of landing a good position, or as I'm hoping, to start your own independent business where you can control more the amount of money coming in so that you can still maintain your benefits and that you can also open up your own office, you know. So there's lots of possibilities for you out there. And we always ask that that people with that receive benefits for their so-called disabilities, and I say so-called disabilities because you can tell from this show that we are not pushing that people should perceive themselves as disabled or unable to do anything. We are able to do many, many things, and I could tell you many stories of people who have overcome their addiction to illness. Wow.
Right.
An addiction to illness. And that's exactly what my book is on, is the addiction to the illness mentality and rehabilitating ourselves from that. So I really, I'm just so proud of you, Maria, and I hope that you keep up the work, and I hope that those listeners out there are in some way encouraged to call into White Apple Institute and ask for help in starting their own pathway towards stepping in the doors of college or some workforce training program. So I hope those of you out there are listening. You know, drugs are drugs. Okay?
Right.
And I say that with a lot of force because I can't get over the fact that there's so many people out there that don't understand that coffee is a drug. They don't get it. That it's just not as powerful, as potent as heroin, but it's still a drug. The same principles still take place. And that means that we have to be aware that when we are taking anything that makes us feel like I gotta have it in order to function. Now, for you listeners out there that are really into what we're doing on this program, I want you to write that down. That gotta have it attitude is what really is the beginning of substance-related disorders, okay? And substance-related disorders, let me read very, very quickly what they are from. This is from Dr. Dennis Kuhn's book. I work very, very closely with Dr. Kuhn. He is someone I admire, he and his wife, and they are just beautiful people. But his book talks about the fact that substance-related disorders that involve abuse of or dependence on mood or behavior-altering drugs. And the typical culprits, the typical things that we find that are sneaking in on us and causing this addiction, this substance-related disorder, is usually alcohol, some kind of barbiturate, opiates definitely, cocaine, amphetamines. I mean, people know these drugs. Even marijuana, as so-called, it's safer than alcohol, but still it is a drug. And I tell my students that all the time, I'm not going to get involved in the argument of what's the drug and what's not the drug. Marijuana is still a drug, MJ or whatever you want to call it. So we're going to talk about that. And nicotine. Nicotine, our dear old cigarette. Now, most of you know that nicotine in a cigarette is an addictive process. But problems of this type of damage to the brain and to functioning at home or on the job, because the person cannot stop using the drug. Active drug intoxication or drug withdrawal, that delirium that happens, that horrible feeling that almost runs us into psychosis, or many emotional and sexual problems, even sleep disturbances, may also be related to drug abuse. Now, a study was made by Boutros and Bowers to validate that. But I'm not going to get too technical in the classroom stuff. I just wanted to get us started with some information that validates what we're talking about. So here we are sitting here this Saturday morning, and we're trying to understand how can just a little drink of, we'll start with coffee in the morning, can be so treacherous to us. How can that be? Any responses?
Well, I drink coffee a lot. This is Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm addicted to it. And it wakes you up in the morning and it keeps you going. Most people that are addicted to it, if they stop drinking, especially heavy users, get terrible, terrible headaches, which can affect them. Some people can't get going in the morning without it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a day, like my brother drinks two pots a day.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey,
I remember one day his
pots?
Coffee pot, pots,
wow.
Yes,
wow.
Pots, I think that's what he told mm-hmm. me. And one day he went home and the coffee pots broke, and he went to work and the coffee pots were broken there, and he went 24 hours without coffee. And they told
right.
him he should get his 24-hour chip like they give you at AA
yeah.
for not drinking for 24 hours. But, I mean, it really created the struggle through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think energy drinks ought to be entered into this arena, especially
yes,
ones with sugar.
Yes, add that to it. Yes. Yes, they're taking on they're just influencing so many, especially young people, but I've seen many truck drivers now that are starting to use it to stay awake. So these energy drinks we have to be very careful of too, because you'll know your addiction. You'll know your addiction by just what Tom was saying. You'll know it because you'll feel that you need it in order to keep going. Okay, that's the first sign, that you need it, not just want it. Because you could want something, and if you don't have it, it's not a big deal, okay? But when you need something and it disrupts you from doing what you normally do, that's one big sign to look at. And then the second sign is how you feel, headache-wise, shakes in your body, and this yearning all day where you can't even keep your mind off of that coffee or Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, any of the Coke drinks that originate from cocaine, the cocoa bean, okay? And so when you have that mixture going in, which a lot of people do, can you imagine? This is the day of a truck driver that I spoke with just recently. He starts with coffee, at least 2 24-ounce cups of coffee, and then he moves to the one of the readiness drinks, is Bull or Monster or some of the other, any other names out there? I can't remember any other names that he...
Red Bull,
Red Bull, right.
It's one of them. And some of them have sugar.
I know
sugar,
Monster is the other one.
Don't.
Right. I know I have to mention, too, in order to keep the balance going, but definitely there's a lot of the energy drinks out there. So he takes a couple of energy drinks, and I said a couple of energy drinks, and it's not even 12 noon yet. Now, he's been up and driving since 6 o'clock this morning with, again, the two 24-ounce cups of coffee and a couple of drinks of the energy drinks. And now he moves on to eat a little bit, finally, to eat a decent meal. But with that meal, he has more coffee, okay? And he tells the waitress to come over and fill it up again and again and again. So by now, he's so hyped up that your body can only take so much, okay? And so now his all of his nerve endings in his body are in a state of, without using big technical words, let's just use the word shock.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
What makes a person want to, okay, there has to be something's going on in their bodies. What makes somebody drink so much coffee? Why? Like, why are they so tired? Why are they so disrupted inside of them? I mean, what's going on with them? And I want to know, because there has to be something that's going on inside of them, not the coffee, inside of them, inside of their body.
Exactly. What Maria is asking for our listeners out there is that why is it that when you drink coffee, you still have this yearning to drink another cup of coffee and continue it. And, you know, it's like you never get enough coffee. And I have one word for that, one word. And it's the same word that I would use if you asked me why someone continues to use cocaine or meth or any other drug out there. And that is, it starts with T. And it's called tolerance. Your body reaches a tolerance level where your body begins to get used to something.
Okay.
It's very used to it. And when it gets used to it, then that in itself starts making your body feel like it doesn't have, it needs more of the drug in order to keep going.
Okay.
So today I only need 2 cups, but next month I'll need three cups of coffee or any of the energy drinks. And so what we find is, especially with young people and athletes, those of them that are on in sports shows and that kind of thing, they have a large problem about staying awake. In the military, I found this to be an issue, and nurses and doctors in the emergency rooms have a very, very difficult problem with staying awake, and so they drink these drinks so that they can stay awake. Go ahead.
Okay, Ms. Apple, but okay, if somebody works over 8 hours, I mean, don't you think that by 8 hours, a person in their good mind should be tired? I mean, 10 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, that's ridiculous right there. Society has everything wrong, because a person should be able to work a few hours, get rest, get somebody else to take their place, and so on and so on. You just can't work 20 hours, 16, 12, and go on and go on. Of course you're going to need the drug. Of course you're going to need the coffee. Give us a break.
Uh-huh. Right. And coffee, again, is the same thing as most drugs. The only drug that that doesn't cause this continual addiction is the marijuana drug. And that's the only one. And then there's a lot of research out there that's saying some different things about the marijuana. As a matter of fact, someone was just telling me that they have some research now that says that marijuana causes some schizophrenia. Well, I think that any of the drugs, if you look at them, cause some type of schizophrenia and or can lead to that kind of psychosis or a type of psychosis. And so we have to be very, very careful of how we look at these drugs, because that's what gets us in trouble at first. Right?
Right.
You were going to say something, Tom. Yeah.
No. Somebody just called me, and I went and saw them.
Okay.
So I'm sorry for the interruption to the show.
Oh, no
problem.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Drugs, I mean, you know, sugar itself is another type of drug. But, yeah, and it's true. It's hard to stay awake 16, 18, 20 hours or more without
mm-hmm.
some kind of stimulant.
Right.
But you do become addicted to it, you know,
right?
After a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a problem. I mean, you get headaches without it, without coffee. Most people do, if they're addicted. You get tremors from not drinking. They can be very bad. You can see snakes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know hypoglycemics sometimes have to take sugar, and they can get addicted. I try to stay away from sugar because I crave the stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it does interfere with your function, you know?
Right.
And I don't
it
know
does.
If you knew that 85% of schizophrenics smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It somehow affects the part of the brain that calms them down.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's
so,
a part of the brain, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what part of the brain nicotine's up.
Well, they call it the hypothalamus, and that is
okay.
where most of our temperament is controlled. Most of our upsets and our
right.
anxiety is controlled by that. If any of you are interested, you're very, very right, Tom. If any of you are really interested in this, for yourself or for someone that you love dearly, make sure that you give us a call and talk to us about uppers and downers and the highs and lows, because there is a kind of like neutral area where somebody is not is using a drug to relieve anxiety and give a feeling of well-being, just, you know, like a euphoria, like you feel like you're on top of the world.
Right.
And then there's the other part of what we call the stimulating part of taking drugs, which causes a lot of anxiety, and it might still give you the feeling of that feeling of feeling good or whatever that's, and it's a perception with each person, because I've heard some people say, oh, well, God, I can't even stand taking morphine, and another person say, I'd like morphine, it works well with me. Okay,
right.
or oxycodone or Percocet. Okay? And so we have our own personal feelings about that. Okay? Even cocaine in small doses, you know, and nicotine, caffeine, are things that are really in the more stimulant area, and they keep a rush going, a rush, rush, rush. You're
right.
always rushing, you know. And I think, Maria, that goes back to what you were saying about why they need more, because they burned it off so quickly. Can you see that?
Yeah.
They burn
right.
it off so quickly that it's very difficult to keep that feeling going unless you put more in. You know, it's like a fuel tank in a gas in a car. You know, you burn it out by driving faster.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an argument about the AC thing. Even my father and I have an issue with whether or not when you use the air conditioning in the car, does it use up more gas? But the bottom line is my car certainly uses up more gas when I have the air conditioning on and a lot of other things going at the same time. And I know that definitely, I know that when I drive faster, that I use more gas. And the body is mechanical. Mm. Our bodies are mechanical, not our minds, not our hearts, certainly not.
Right.
And that's why God, our Creator, communicates to us, to our brain and our heart.
Well, did
because
you know that
the,
you...
Go ahead.
You can be addicted to fluids, too. Like there's people in the state hospital, I used to work there, they would drink well over 16 gallons of water in an 8-hour period, and it drains
mm-hmm.
the electrolytes from your body, and that's
mm-hmm.
a common disorder that's overlooked sometimes when you're talking about mental illness.
Right.
Especially in a state like Arizona where they tell you to drink as much as you can. It's very common. You know, so anything in overuse practically can be considered an addiction, even food.
Right. Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about food for a minute because, again, we're
going to make me hungry.
Pardon me? Now, this is a very tough area that people get into because they're not clear on whether or not, you know, what a diet truly is. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on that because we're calling a special guest to expand on that. But one of the things for sure that when we talk about food, we're talking about when it gets into addiction, we're talking about that lack of control that we all have. And that's where we can't control what we're eating. We can't control our desire. And that's where it gets into a very tricky situation. And so that's the only thing I can tell you about food in relationship to addiction, that it is that same quality of not knowing or not being aware that I need this. That macaroni and cheese or those tortillas with all that cheese drizzling out of it. I'm sorry if you're hungry this morning. Okay? But, it's a thing of do you want it. Again, back to that statement I made earlier, you want it, but do you need it to function? Okay? Is it where when every time that you turn around during the day, you keep thinking about, you know, food, and you've already eaten now, but you see something else, even though you're not hungry, but you still see something that you want and you're yearning for, and that's when you know you've got an addiction to food.
Right. Well, I was just trying to make the point that addiction is kind of all-encompassing. If you overdo
mm-hmm.
something, it can be an addiction.
Right. Exactly. All the time. All the time. We're trying to always do something that takes on an addiction an addiction
pattern?
Status, yes.
Yeah.
And so all of us have some type of addiction, you know. Recently, I was talking to a mother who is going to see her son who has been addicted to methamphetamine. And that is a very, very sad situation because that drug does kill and maims the body. It hurts the body very, very quickly. And so, and those are the things that concern us. You see, we look at addiction to drugs as, well, what's worse, a cup of coffee, two pots of coffee, or taking something like a methamphetamine and smoking it out of a pipe. Now, let's examine that. When you're addicted to something, it's going to hurt you one way or another. It can hurt you in a small way, or can hurt you in a big way. And so what happens is that we have to be aware of any type of addiction that's happening to us. And that's the bottom line. We have to be. And the only way you know that is what? How do you know?
Your body tells you.
Your body tells you. Your body tells you, oh, I need this. I need this in order to function. And that's when you know that you are on either addiction or right in that middle ground area, and you need to stop and get some help. And what is help? Help is through our agencies. We have lots of resource agencies out there, and that's the key, is how many resource agencies do we have out there, and even in different countries. You know, how do we make sure that someone is really being taken care of and is addressing their addiction? Well, great news for you. Surprise, surprise. We can't. It is up to the individual. The individual makes the choice, my love, my dear friends. Okay? All right? You make the choice, listeners out there, to say, I want to do something different with my life. I know that there's something that's not right in the way that I yearn this coffee, or I yearn this cigarette or food or methamphetamine. Okay? So a lot of people go around, and I don't know if you've seen them, they go around smoking meth, and they say that it doesn't bother them. And for a while, I've seen them function very well. Even in my classroom, I've seen them function very well. And I wonder to myself, you know, when are they going to crash, as they say? Have you ever seen somebody that's on, you know, addicted, but they can't, they don't really look it? You can't really tell, and then you find out later.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Well, I was going to say, you know, they classify marijuana as a non-addictive drug, you know. I guess maybe it doesn't have the neuroreceptors in the brain, but I've known people that are addicted to the thing. They have to have it every day to feel right, to function. It can affect your memory as well as your weight, because you get them munchy, I've heard, when you use it. And so... You know, you can be addicted to just about anything.
Yes.
And it's just the degree of discomfort it causes you when you don't use a particular substance, I guess, is how bad would be a measure of how badly you're addicted to it, or how bad the drug is, because, you know, like I'm addicted to coffee. I have almost 19 years free from alcohol, but I'm addicted to that. And, you know, it just depends on the discomfort. It causes your body not to have the addiction.
And one of the things that I like what you said, and I hope that our listeners caught that, is that we can survive just about anything. The human being the Creator has created us with so many different things to make us strong and to keep us going in this life. And we can go inside of ourselves and we can find those things that are there inside of us and utilize them. And we see them come out mostly in prayer, deepest meditation and prayer. We see that people have done wonderful things with themselves to come out of that, the issue of addiction, and at least know, okay, I need some help. I've actually seen people using.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get.
Yeah, did you hear the 90 seconds?
Oh, no, I
didn't. I don't know if you heard the our radio show producer say that if we have 90 seconds left. And that's, we're going to do this show again, repeat this show. I just want to thank all of you out there for listening to our show this morning. And please excuse the technical delays in starting off. But be with us next Saturday as we continue our discussion on addiction. And we send you much love and peace from the staff of White Apple Institute. And we will see you next week. May God bless and keep you. We thank our sponsors for helping us to continue this show. We thank Nazim Rashid for his music, and his show follows now from 11 to 12, called Reconnected.